Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I do want to let you know that our show is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And you can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net, or you can become a monthly recurring supporter at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the star of Boston Blackie, Richard Colmer. Colmer is not remembered as a household name, but he was an important person in a couple of ways, particularly on Broadway, where he appeared in plenty of plays, as well as acting and directing. But probably his biggest claim to fame outside of Boston Blackie was that he and his wife, columnist Dorothy Kilgarren, did a radio talk show called Breakfast with Dorothy and Dick. It aired in New York and the surrounding area, and at its peak drew about 20 million listeners. And it also became famous throughout the country through Miss Kilgarren's newspaper columns. And of course, he hosted a couple television shows, and he's also in a few radio programs that we'll hear. But this is probably his biggest legacy in terms of things people still watch or listen to today. All right, well, now it is time to get into today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, May the 2nd, 1945, and the title is The Murder of John Walters.
Over there on that bench. Love boys.
What'd you expect in a park, Shorty? Penguins?
Well, these love boys can't fly, boy.
Neither can penguins.
Yeah. See, Blackie, I didn't know there was a lake down this part of the park.
Well, Shorty, we've never taken this path to Mary's before.
Huh? What do we do from here, swim?
Now we take this footbridge.
Ah, oh, gee. It sure is a plenty cute lake for such a little one, eh?
Well, stay away from that bridge railing, or you'll be telling me it's a plenty wet lake for such a little one.
Hey, boss.
Now what?
Look, lying in the water there. I thought it sure.
Uh-oh.
Well, is it?
It sure is.
Is it dead?
If it isn't, it's awful careless. Come on, let's have a look.
Gee, boss, is he dead?
You used the wrong pronoun, short one. When a he is dead, he's an it.
It's an it?
By virtue of a slight case of no breathing. Play the match, will you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Then we better call a cop, huh?
Are you kidding? All I have to do is pronounce the word body and Inspector Faraday dusts out a cell all for me.
Gee, what do you know? Face down in the water with his feet on the shore. A plain case of suicide, boss. It'll be okay to call a cop.
It'll be murder to call a cop, Shorty. Because that's what this is.
This guy didn't bump himself?
Not unless he rode here on the back of a duck. Look at his shoes.
Kind of neat looking.
And he pulled a neat trick, getting here without walking on them.
Oh, matches don't burn well. What do you mean by that, boss?
He's wearing brand new shoes, Shorty, never walked on. And it's a plenty long hike from here to the edge of the park.
See, and I said, let's call a cop.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Sure, boss.
Hey, you two. What's going on down there?
Hey, boss, it's a cop.
What's that lying in the water? A body?
Uh-oh, Shorty. Here we go again.
Now meet Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends.
Frankie. Come on in. I want to talk to you.
Well, look what invites me into the morgue. A body that walks and talks. Inspector Faraday.
Frankie, some of these days you're going to underestimate me and be sorry.
Don't tell me this case is closed already.
Maybe I look dumb, Blackie, but I'm not. We police see things that other people don't.
Oh?
I'll let you know a little secret, chum. This isn't suicide, it's murder.
Murder?
Surprise, huh?
Plenty. What makes you think it's murder?
I don't think, I know. What a clever stunt this was. Would have gotten by somebody like you, but not me. I saw it the minute they brought the body in.
And you, the great Boston Blackie, you thought it was suicide.
Well, I'm certainly surprised. I thought you would be, pal.
I didn't think you'd notice the shoes.
Well, when you know you... You mean... Why, you double-crosser, you... You knew it all the time.
That's why I hung around. I thought you'd never notice it. Only a dope would fail to see no more than 10 steps have been taken in those shoes.
I ought to throw you in jail.
Don't choke yourself with jealousy, pal. This murdered guy, Walters, could have taken a cab to within 20 feet of the lake.
I'm way ahead of you again, Blackie. I checked with every cab company in town. He didn't take a taxi.
It's murder, all right. And I know how it was done.
You'd speculate on anything, wouldn't you?
It's as simple as a nursery rhyme, my dear fellow. He was picked up outside his apartment house, driven to the lake by his killer, hit over the head, and tossed into the lake.
I'll buy that, but you'll have to give me a cut rate.
I know it's not worth much until we have a suspect for the motive.
I've got a suspect with plenty of motive. A guy's wife. She didn't even break up when she identified the body. And guess where she says she was at the time Walters died? At a movie, alone.
What did Mrs. Walters say when you told her it was murder?
I didn't tell her. I've got Mrs. Walters tagged as a possible suspect. She admits she and her husband never got along. If she thinks I'm convinced it's suicide, she'll drop her guard. I'm even releasing a suicide story to the paper.
Faraday, you astound me.
Really? Okay, Blackie. You knew this was murder from the start, so maybe you know a whole lot more.
Put that gun away, Faraday. Don't you know it's impolite to point?
You found the body, Blackie. So I'm holding you as a material witness and locking you up till I've got my case against Mrs. Walters.
Faraday, please. Please, the gun, you know.
I know, and it stays in my hand. Now, if you've finished pawing over Walters' shoe, come on. Leave the shoe here.
Where do you want me to put it?
On this table right here.
Take hold of the size 11, my toe. That's surprising how heavy a shoe can be.
Put the shoe down, will you? And come on.
Sure, I'll put it down right on your hand.
Oh, my...
Leave your gun on the floor, Faraday, or I'll have to use mine on you.
So help me, Blackie. You run out on this, and I'll throw the book at you.
How far can you throw a book, Faraday? I'm going a long way.
You won't get far. Every cop on the force will guarantee that, personally.
When you can get another key made for this door, Faraday, maybe someone on the force will let you out. Hey, officer.
Yeah? What is it?
Yeah, if you can get into the morgue, you'd better have a look around.
What for?
There's a brand new body in there, but it's dead only from the neck up. Mrs. John Walters?
Yes?
I'm from the police department. May I come in?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks.
Are you from Inspector Faraday?
Straight from him. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I see.
Your late husband carried life insurance?
Doesn't almost everybody?
That doesn't answer my question.
Yes.
That does. For how much?
I don't know.
For how much?
Enough. Is that all?
No. May I see the policy?
I don't have it.
Where is it?
I'm not sure. In my husband's safety deposit box, I suppose.
You're the sole beneficiary?
I suppose I am. I never asked my husband.
Do you suppose everything? What company did your husband carry his insurance with, or do you just suppose it was some company?
No, it's the New Northern Life, I think.
Oh, first you suppose, now you think. Well, it's a big improvement.
Look here, I don't think you're from the police at all.
Some cops still have arches, Mrs. Walters.
You're not from the police. Who are you?
I'm asking the questions, Mrs. Walters.
Well, I'm going to call Inspector Faraday.
Your husband's policy is with the New Northern Life, huh? Now, can you remember for how much?
I'm not answering any more questions.
Police department.
Inspector Faraday, please.
Yes, ma'am. Faraday speaking.
Inspector, this is Sarah Walters.
Oh, yeah?
Did you send a man from your department to talk to me?
I did not.
Well, there's a man here now who claims that he came from your office.
Put him on the phone.
Of course. Inspector Faraday wants to talk to you. Here.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, sweetheart. How does it feel to be out of the morgue again?
Frankie, I might have known it was you.
I know. You're going to send up a squad car and then pick me up.
You better behave yourself. You're getting in this deeper every minute.
I don't know what I'm getting into, Inspector, but I do know I'm getting out of here, so don't bother to send for me. Goodbye.
Blackie, so help me when I...
Sorry to be leaving, Mrs. Walters, but this place is going to be full of cops in a few minutes, and I hate crowds.
Who are you, anyway?
The name's Blackie.
Boston Blackie?
That's right.
Then you're the one who found my husband's body.
And that isn't all I found, Mrs. Walters. And if Faraday doesn't see me first, I'll see you again.
Tom Jenkins' law office. Jenkins speaking.
Tom, this is Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Tom, John's dead.
What?
He was found in the lake in the park this evening.
Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry. How did it happen?
He killed himself.
Is there anything I can do?
I don't know. I'm worried.
Worried?
Tom, I have a hunch the police suspect it's murder.
Murder? What makes you think so?
A man by the name of Boston Blackie was here asking terrible questions. Tom, what can I do?
What do you mean?
If it's murder, I'm afraid.
Why? Do you have anything to hide?
No.
Then what are you worried about?
I'm just worried.
Well, stop it. Who did you say was up there questioning you?
Boston Blackie.
Boston Blackie? Well, forget about him. Get him off your mind.
I wish somebody would get him off this case.
I know you're the beauty of the new Northern Life Insurance Company, baby, but are you the brains, too?
That depends on what you want to know.
Well, you see, I carry a life insurance policy with your company. My name's John Walters.
Yeah?
I've forgotten the name of the man who sold me the policy. You could give it to me, couldn't you?
Well, not from memory, but I should have it in my file.
I think I should have you in my file.
Is there room?
Sure. You probably have a very small name.
What was your name again?
It's still John Walters.
Walter, Abel, John. John, here we are.
The salesman's name?
Here it is, Fred Singer.
I'd like to talk to him.
Oh, that's all right there. Just knock.
Thanks. And, who got me this information?
Mr. Singer will be glad to do anything he can for you.
I'll be back.
Come in.
Fred Singer?
That's right.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I don't think I've had...
My name is Blackie, Boston Blackie.
Oh.
You sold an insurance policy to John Walters, didn't you?
That's right.
When?
I'm afraid you'd better explain your reasons for these questions.
John Walters is dead.
What did you say?
When did you sell him this policy?
A month ago.
For how much?
$50,000.
Who's the beneficiary?
His wife.
How well did you know Mrs. Walters?
I've never met her.
Oh.
This is certainly a shock about Walters. How did he die?
He was murdered.
Oh, the police know who killed him?
Well, I'll give you a hint. If the police can prove their case, they'll save your company $50,000.
Look, Blackie, when we get upstairs to your place, let's stay there, huh? We're not in this mess. It's got nothing to do with us.
Faraday's figuring Mrs. Walters killed her husband, but I don't know, somehow I don't like that.
Hmm? Would you like it better if Faraday pinned it on you?
Well, it'd be a lot more natural.
What do we do now?
You're going to shadow Mrs. Walters. I've got a hunch if we watch her movements, she'll either prove Faraday is right or clear herself.
Okay, boss. You're the boss, but I... Hey, Blackie. I don't like the looks of this car coming up the street.
Uh-oh.
Boss, I got a funny feeling.
You can go easily, quick.
Yeah. We ain't going to make it, boss.
You better.
Hey, boss. Blackie! Hey, Blackie!
To Boston Blackie. Though he's being sought by Inspector Faraday as a material witness in the murder of John Walters, Boston Blackie has managed to interview Mrs. Walters, Faraday's chief suspect, Fred Singer, who sold the insurance policy to the dead man, and get himself shot at by an unknown assailant. As we return to our story, Blackie is still avoiding Faraday and is at the apartment of Mary Wesley, where the young nurse is dressing his bullet wound.
It's a hurt, little Blackie.
You know you're supposed to report this to the police, don't you?
Yes.
It's the law.
Yes, I know. Is Shorty hurt, too?
No, not a scratch.
Ouch! Sorry. What kind of trouble are you in this time?
Up until this bullet autographed my arm, I wasn't in any trouble, I thought.
Now we're both in trouble.
Oh, don't worry, honey. I'll report this to Faraday myself. Oh. Shall I answer?
It's probably for you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Blackie. Blackie, it is Shorty here.
Are you still trailing Mrs. Waters?
Boss, I'm shagging after that dame like she owed me the last $10 bill in town. Hey, you know something, boss?
As much as my IQ will allow.
I don't know nothing from IQs, but I know I've seen this Walters dame somewhere before.
Now, don't tell me she's a waterfront mall in Park Avenue clothing.
I don't know about that. I just know that I've seen her before.
Well, don't lose her. Where is she now?
Well, I'll tell you, first she went into the bank for us, and then she went into an apartment building across the street from here, see?
Do you know what apartment?
Yeah, a guy named Singer.
That Singer?
Yes. Hey, boss, how did you know that?
Never mind that. Singer told me he didn't even know Mrs. Waters. Where are you now?
In a drugstore at the corner 86th Street in Elmhurst.
I'll be right up.
Well, you better step on it, boss. The dame went into that building like she was in a hurry.
I have a hunch she's not only in a hurry, short one. I think the lady's also in a jam. Hello, Singer.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, thanks for the pleasant welcome. Well, hello, Mrs. Walters.
Again?
Well, this is all very cozy. Two people who don't even know each other.
Of course we know each other. We have the years. You don't think we'd be foolish enough to tell you or the police?
You were foolish enough to let my man trail Mrs. Walters to your apartment. Now, what goes?
I don't think we have to answer your questions. You're not from the police.
Well, maybe you'd rather answer their questions.
What do you want?
Let's see that insurance policy.
What insurance policy?
The one you sold John Walters.
Don't be a fool. What would it be doing here?
You brought it here, Mrs. Walters.
I did not.
You didn't stop in at the bank on your way here to get change for a dollar. Oh, no. Let's see the policy.
All right. Let him see it, then.
Dear, huh? Oh, this is cozy. The policy, Mrs. Walters.
I'm getting it out of my purse now.
Be sure it doesn't come out with bullets in it.
Here it is.
Thanks.
I don't see what you intend to accomplish with all this prying.
For one thing, I intend to find out who hit John Walters on the head so I can get Faraday off my neck. Let's have that policy.
You can see I wasn't lying. It was signed a month ago, and it's for $50,000, just as I said.
Mind if I use your phone?
Go ahead. If you want anything in that policy,
it explains itself.
Who are you calling?
Inspector Faraday. To turn you two in for the murder of John Walters.
You out of your mind?
Don't move, either one of you. I've got a good gun, better aim.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Faraday. This is Blackie.
Okay, Blackie. This has gone far enough. I'm issuing a warrant for your arrest. You...
Look, chum. Don't make any more mistakes than you've already made. Or I'll make you solve this case by yourself.
Oh, yeah?
You want Mrs. Walters. And the man who sold John Walters is insurance.
I was just checking into the insurance angle on this thing.
Well, I've checked for you, sweetheart. Here's the dope. It's as pat as the pan on your face there. Mrs. Walters wanted a divorce. Singer wanted Mrs. Walters. The only thing that stood in the way was Mr. Walters.
That's an old one, the love angle.
Yes, but love wasn't enough this time. Money was interesting, too. So Singer sold Walters a policy for $50,000 payable to Mrs. Walters.
I get it. Then the two of them knocked off Mr. Walters. So they could get married and live happily ever after. Or until the $50,000 ran out.
You see, Faraday, it's so simple, even you can manage to figure it out. And they both happen to be right here, in Singer's apartment. Number 2A, northwest corner of 86th and Elmhurst Avenue.
Okay, I'll be right up, son. But you stay there, too, Blackie. You're not out of this yet.
Sorry, pal, I can't wait. I've got work to do. But Shorty will hold him for you.
Look, you're way off the beam.
You better sit down, Singer, and you too, Mrs. Walters. Faraday won't be here to pick you up for 10 minutes. Hey, Shorty.
Yeah, boss?
Come on up quick. Use the stairs. They're faster.
Right away, boss.
Well, I guess about all you two need now is a lawyer.
I'd like to call mine now, if you don't mind.
I do mind.
Oh, Fred, what are we going to do?
Just sit tight, I guess. That's all we can do for the moment.
That's what Tom told me to do, too, and look what's happened.
Who's Tom?
My lawyer. Please let me call him.
Seems to me you've already called him.
I did, after you came to see me this afternoon.
What's his name?
Tom Jenkins.
Here I am, boss.
Okay, Shorty. Just keep an eye on these two lovebirds till the police come and put them into their cages.
Hey, gee, boss, now I know.
Now you know what?
Now I know where I seen his thing. It was in a police lineup in Los Angeles when I was picked up on a phony charge.
Why, you're crazy.
Well, this gets more interesting every minute.
I even remember what you was up for, boss. It was robbery. And her name was Sarah Wolf.
That's not true.
This could go on forever. See that these two don't run out before the cops get here, Shorty.
Right.
I'm going to run down Mrs. Walter's lawyer.
Yes, I've been Mrs. Walter's lawyer for many years.
But you never knew Mr. Walters?
No, I didn't. They didn't get along too well, you know. I was Mrs. Walter's attorney.
Nice place you have here.
No, I like it.
I was in a lawyer's office just the other afternoon. He had the same kind of paneling.
Really? Well, I'm very busy, Blackie. A lot of work to do, so if you'd just tell me why you
Tom
came down
Jenkins.
Here.
Tom Jenkins. Let me see. Are you by any chance related to the Alfred Jenkins on the east side?
No, I'm not. Now, look here. Excuse me. Hello.
Is Boston Blackie there?
Why, yes. In just a minute. For you.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Blackie?
Yes, Mary?
I called Los Angeles just as you told me to.
Oh, what'd you find out?
Is it all right to talk?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Nobody can hear you.
Well, you were right. And Sarah Walsh was sent to a California prison for 3 years for robbery.
Uh-huh.
She later changed the name to Sarah Burroughs. And she came east where she married John Walsh.
Swell. Anything else?
Yes. I asked about the name of her attorney on that case. It was a man by the name of Tom Jenkins. He was disbarred several years later for malpractice.
Mary, you're the most wonderful girl in the world.
Yes, I know. On a telephone.
I'll talk to you in person in the best restaurant in town at 8 o'clock tonight. I'll call for you at 7.
Well, I won't wait a minute after 9.
Good girl. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, can we get down to business, or may I go to work?
Sorry to hold you up, Jenkins. Gee, I'm really sorry. One more phone call, and then we can talk.
Go ahead.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Faraday. This is Blackie.
Hello, Blackie. Say, I guess I really have to thank you this time.
What for, pal?
I believe in being fair. Thanks to you, I've got Mrs. Walters and Fred Singer on the lock and key. And the whole case sewed up in a sack.
Faraday, you haven't got anything.
Are you crazy?
Read that insurance policy.
What for?
Look, Walter's death was supposed to look like suicide, wasn't it?
Any fool could have told that.
Then only a fool would have wanted Walter's death to look like suicide, if he knew what was in that insurance policy, and both Mrs. Walters and Singer knew it.
Know what?
That a suicide clause voided the policy in the event Walter killed himself inside of 2 years. And that policy was only 1 month old.
Well, I'll be...
Inspector, mustn't brag.
You made a fool out of me, Blackie.
Relax, Inspector. I thought Singer and Mrs. Walters were the ones we wanted, too, until I read the policy carefully. But now I've got your real killer for you.
Where?
Right here, room 1051 in the City Building. His name is Tom Jenkins.
What down that receiver, Blackie?
Afraid I'll have to put an end to this little conversation, Inspector.
I heard what he said. I'll have a squad up there in 5 minutes.
For the last time, put that receiver down.
With pleasure. It was getting sort of heavy anyhow.
Very clever.
Oh, not very.
For that very lovely shot in the dark, you're going to get a shot in the back.
Oh, I don't think so.
This gun in my hand wasn't filled in a water fountain.
Oh, I was referring to what you called my shot in the dark. I wasn't guessing at all.
Oh, you looked into your little crystal ball, huh?
No, into the court records in Los Angeles. Mrs. Walters went to jail out there a few years ago, and you were her lawyer.
Well, you are informed, aren't you?
Better than you think. When she came east, she changed the name, married John Walters, had 2 children, and then you followed her to blackmail her for every dime she could lay her hands on.
Your answers don't wait for questions, do they?
A little while ago, Mrs. Walters went broke, didn't she?
What makes you think so?
It had to be like that. You murdered John Walters to get the $50,000 for which he was insured, because you knew you could get every penny of it from Mrs. Walters.
I don't think you can prove that.
You must think so, or you wouldn't be holding that gun at me.
Just a precaution.
Well, I'll tell you why. Would you kill John Walters, if you'd like to know? The clue is in the insurance policy. And you're the only one of 3 suspects who didn't see the policy.
Oh?
If you had read the policy, you wouldn't have made it look like suicide. After all, you did want Mrs. Walters to collect.
Well, you're a very clever young man. It's too bad I missed when I shot at you this afternoon. But it isn't too late.
Put away that gun, Jenkins. Cops will be here in a few minutes.
I won't kill you here. We're leaving. You take my car for a drive in the country.
You dumped Walters in the park, and you're going to dump me out in the country. Murder seems to bring out the rural in you.
I'll just search you for your gun, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no gun. Let's go, Blackie. Right out that door, the way you came in.
Okay.
Just remember, this hand in my coat pocket has a gun in it.
I wouldn't have to give it a second thought if I had my gun with me.
Here's your gun, boss.
What do you... Well, shorty.
Yep. Here's your gun, boss. Sticking in this guy's back.
That was a wonderful dinner, Blackie.
I like a little food with my conversation.
But, Blackie, I had a lot of questions to ask you.
Have you run out of them yet?
Nope. Just one more.
All right.
Where shall we walk? Oh, it's a beautiful night.
Well, here's the park. What about through here?
Oh, Blackie, do you think we should? Isn't this the path you and Shorty were on when you found that body? Remember all the trouble that caused you.
Honey, any time I walk through a park with Shorty when you're available, I deserve to have trouble.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, Boston Blackie is one of those guys who can't even go up. Yeah, you see it right here. He can't even go for a walk without stumbling over a corpse. Also, it's interesting to hear Frank Lovejoy in this episode. Of course, we'll be hearing Mr. Lovejoy in just a few months on Monday in Not Beat. And he's usually most associated with his work in Hollywood-produced programs. But here we do get to hear him doing a New York program. And this isn't the only one. I actually heard him in an episode of Superman as well a few years back. Finally, I do have a gentle teasing comment from Mark who says, Adam, almost every morning when I click on your podcast, the question comes to mind, what is old Tom radio? Well, maybe you should ask, what is old Tom? Who is old Tom radio? I'd be tempted to tell you a story about a mysterious fairy who delivers lost radio recordings to folks who want to listen to them and share them, and how said fairy brought the recordings for this series, and thus it's the Great Detectives of Old Tom Radio. However, I don't know if everyone will get the joke, so I won't tell you that sort of story. I'll just say, we'll see you next, Tom. Okay. Thanks so much for the comment, Mark. And I have heard that before. I don't hear it myself in my delivery, but Mark isn't the first one to... my time sounds a lot like Tom, to certain ears anyway. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.